Second.
Trustee Gingrich, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're in session. Item 3C, are the outgoing trustees still here?
You make them up?
They're all there.
Wake up.
Old item 7, action regarding the resolution of 2014-06, thanking trustee Green for her years of service on the village board. I will make a motion to approve resolution 2014-06. Is there a second? Trustee Dart. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I probably should have read the resolution first so you know exactly what you were voting on. Resolution 2014-06, Village of Alloway, be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to sincerely thank Lynn Green for her 9 years of dedicated service as a village trustee, her commitment to the health and wellness of Alloway residents, her stewardship for natural resources, and her selfless dedication to the greater good, and to honor Trustee Green with a resolution in recognition of her outstanding and tireless service to the community. Passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway this 15th day of April 2014. Trustee Green?
Do you want Penny as the background?
It's been my pleasure and my honor to serve you for all these years, so thank you very much.
Action regarding resolution 2014-07, thanking Trustee Kopisch for his years of service on the Alloway Village Board. I will make a motion to pass resolution 2014-07. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Gingrich, seconds. Discussion? Notice how this one is up for discussion, right? Let me read you the resolution before we take a vote. They're a bit different, so. Resolution 2014-07, Village of Alloway, be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to sincerely thank Ray Kopisch for his 9 years of dedicated service as a village trustee, his commitment to the well-being of Alloway residents, his promotion of economic development in Alloway businesses, and his constant devotion to responsible and accountable government, and to honor trustee with a resolution in recognition of his outstanding and tireless service to the community. Passed and approved by the Village Board, the Village of Alloway, this 15th day of April, 2014. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I had my doubts there, right? I didn't know. I'm a dissenter.
Are you ready, Ray?
I have to note that I'm returning the key to the village to Brad. If anything happens beyond this, yes, it wasn't me. Sincerely, when my wife and I were looking at a place to raise our family in 1980, we selected Alloway for a lot of the reasons that were discussed tonight. People caring about the community, and I see that's not going to change at all, so listen to them. Thank you for your support and the opportunity to serve the village.
Action regarding resolution 2014-08, thanking Trustee Zeller for his years of service on the village board. I will make a motion to pass resolution 2014-08. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Rafter seconds. Discussion? I will read you the resolution. The resolution 2014-08, Village of Alloway, be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to sincerely thank Paul Zeller for his 15 years of dedicated service as a village trustee, his steadfast commitment to the well-being of Alloway residents, his unending promotion of fiscal responsibility, and his constant devotion to responsive and accountable government, and to honor Trustee Zeller with a resolution in recognition of his outstanding and tireless service to the community, passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway this 15th day of April 2014. The 15 years weren't consecutive. Trustee Zeller took a break and went to the county and served there for a while, and then he got his wits about him and came back again. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Probably the most rewarding part of serving, you know, in this capacity is trying to solve the problems. And there are some situations that don't have perfect solutions. And I was always frustrated with that. And you have a group of people that want to be involved, like tonight, and that's always difficult. But just know that you have some excellent people here in elected service in their capacity to the village, and also your department heads and your employees of the village as well too. It always struck me at how much the employees cared about the village, about keeping the village nice and keeping the ball fields nice, and just remarkable people. And briefly, Debbie. Every one of the framed certificates that you provided, I have hung up in the den. So, all of you rookies, you really have to find a place for that certificate. Okay. Lastly, I'd like to thank everybody who voted for me through the years, election after election. Through problems, through good years and bad, through tax increases and not, I thank you for voting for me through the years. So, thank you.
Old item 10. Action regarding resolution 2014-09, thanking Administrator Flukey for her years of service, for rounding 4 years of service at the Village of Alloway. I will read you this resolution. Resolution 2014-09, Village of Alloway, be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to sincerely thank Tracy Flukey for her 4 years of dedicated service as the village administrator, her commitment to the Village of Alloway, its residents, and its employees, her willingness to assume multiple responsibilities within the village, and her steadfast attention to immediate details as well as long-term vision, and to honor Administrator Flukey with a resolution in recognition of her outstanding and tireless service to the Village of Alloway, passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway this 15th day of April 2014. I will make a motion to pass resolution 2014-09. Is there a second? Trustee Dart seconds. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. I just say a couple quick words. I know it's been a long night, but I just want to thank the board for all the years that I've been here, and you've been great to work for. I've learned a lot. It's been a tough years at times, but it's been a rewarding position as well, and I really appreciate you allowing me to work for you, and I wish you luck in the future. Alloway, I think, is a great community. There's so much potential here, and I think getting a great leader in, having a great board, having the staff all pulling in the right direction, working as a team, is just going to keep moving you forward. So I wish you luck in your search for a new administrator, and I have nothing but good wishes for you, and I've enjoyed my time here. Thank you.
Well, these are interesting times for the village. As you can tell, there are some issues and some hot-button issues that are coming up, and we have a brand-new slate of trustees that we're celebrating tonight, and they've got really, really big shoes to fill. And we have more big shoes to fill with the replacement of the administrator that will take place in the coming weeks. But you had a group here, an outgoing group that was top-notch. So I hope you appreciate the amount of work that goes into serving both as the administrator and on the village board, and especially at budget time. The kind of board that you had in the past, and I think you're going to have now, is a board that sometimes vehemently disagrees on issues. I mean, polar opposites on some issues, but we've always conducted our business with respect, and that's because of the people that were sitting up here and are sitting here now. We agree to disagree, and then we move forward in as efficient as a way as possible. So I think I agree with Trustee Zeller. You had a great board, and I'm pretty confident you're going to have another great board going forward. You had a great administrator, and we're going to get another great administrator for you in the coming weeks. Okay. Announcements. Are there any announcements this evening? No. Hearing none, we'll move on to public appearances. If you're here with regard to the report on the sexual offenders, if you just want to hold your comments, and I'll open it up when we get to that item on the agenda. Are there any other public appearances? Is there anyone who'd like to speak on any issue tonight? Yes, sir.
Gilmore Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I belong to a variety of historical groups. Just wanted to bring it to your attention that last night an emergency meeting of the Village Historic Preservation Committee was called. I found out about it because I was searching tonight's meeting, and I saw it show up. A couple meetings had been canceled, and I found it very bizarre. But what showed up at the meeting yesterday was the state wanted the village to change its policy with regards to local landmark designation and to make it mandatory that people make it so that people cannot opt out of being involved in what's called local landmarking. And local landmarking is the most contentious part of all the historic programs around the state and around the country. That is where people get fined for changing their doors and windows and having the wrong kind of paint. So the state wants everybody to have very strong, long local landmarking ordinances. The Village of Alloway, and the trend right now is to have very owner-friendly ordinances instead of very restrictive ordinances, and the state is coming down very hard on Alloway and saying that they want us to move so that we have a mandatory and not an optional local landmark ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Pat Collins, 2310 on Greenwall Street. There's a couple items I wish to talk about, and I wish to congratulate our new members. But I want to make sure that now that you're on the board, as you do your homework, it's very important to contact like Cole Ringy and other staff members ahead of time before the meetings. Nothing worse than coming to the meeting unprepared, looking at an agenda item that you don't know anything about. It's important, like item number 13 here, request for Titletown Tobacco. You should know where the building is. You should have some information about it. You shouldn't be finding out about it tonight and asking questions. You should know in advance who the people are that run it, what they're trying to do. You should do your homework. Tonight, on the topic of the sidewalks, some questions were asked. Well, what is the process? When is the vote going to be taken by the county? Especially the older members on the board should have known that already. They should have done their homework so they knew the schedule that was coming up. That's very important. And each one of you is responsible for, like I said, doing your homework. Now, a big help in doing your homework is a meeting that used to be on the older boards. This goes back maybe 10, maybe even 15 years. You had a board staff meeting where the board sat around a table with the staff. You could talk to each other, go back and forth. It was an open meeting, but you didn't have public input as such. But the old board staff meeting, where you had the street department, the park department, sitting at the same table with you, you learned a lot, and you got information so that when you came here, you were prepared to make a decision. That's very important. And a point also is that every agenda item, if you don't do your homework, then you're unprepared. Now, the most important thing is that on every agenda item, you should have a good idea ahead of time before the meeting how you're going to vote. Have a position on it. Not just sit here, oh, I heard about it for the first time, now I'm going to make my decision. Again, do your homework. Second topic has to do with the rescue squad. I don't know if all of you are aware that the village board made a decision to go with Green Bay for our fire and rescue. Now, years back, we used to have a very good time as far as rescue response. If somebody had a heart attack, 45 minutes, rescue squad was out there. Somebody on this board should take it upon themselves to keep a watch to make sure that the rescue times don't start falling out. Those of 6 minutes, 7 minutes. And it's not so important just to get an average. Because what's the average mean? It means maybe somebody got the response in 3 minutes, somebody got the response in 10 minutes. Well, if you have a loved one that's having a heart attack, you don't want to be on that end of the average. So, again, have somebody on this board keep a watch on that. Also, I think you've got a big chore ahead of you. The way I understand it, Steve, you said you're going to not run again. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Well, then somebody...
Are you interested?
Well, then somebody on this board should do a lot of homework, do a lot of thinking about a leadership role on the board, because there's nothing better than to have a trustee fill into the village president position, and that you already have a good running start of what goes on. Not saying you have to, but it's a good start. So I don't know who's going to step forward, but I hope someday somebody does a good job as Steve's been doing, and it's very important to do that. So that's all I have to say. I wish you board good luck, but like I say, if you don't do your homework, sometimes you sit up here and you ask the proverbial dumb question. Don't get caught doing that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak? Okay. Moving on. Where are we now? Public appearances. We're done. Humane Society. Item 6, action regarding the adoption of Ordinance 2014-06, repealing and recreating Section 6.13, chargeback of Humane Society pickup fees of the Village of Alloway Municipal Code relating the chargeback of fees for transporting animals that are picked up by animal control humane officer in the village of Elway. Trustee Gass isn't even here, and that motion is that long. Is there a motion with regard to this item?
I think we move. Make the motion that we move forward with adopting that ordinance as you just read.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart, seconds. Discussion? Trustee Rafter?
I have a couple of questions at the risk of asking dumb questions, but I'm going to try because it's my first meeting. Get one. Thanks. First question I have is, can we have the residents build directly for this versus it coming to the village and then the village having to pay back?
I don't think that's part of our contract.
This will be billed directly to them. The $50 fee will bill to them and then will come into the village. We are actually paying, we have employees that we've hired to do this service for us, and they're the ones that will pick up, and we'll pay them for their hours and their time, so it'll be an offset to their wages that we pay out.
We basically use a service for this, but the vendor, if you want to call them that, it's a woman and a man. I think the man lives in the village, is that right?
Yes.
And the woman lives across the river. And so he, as much as possible, he's taking care of animal control things in the village to cut down on the transportation costs.
Mm-hmm.
But in the negotiations, they needed to be considered village employees. So technically considered village employees.
Okay.
Does that help?
It does. Thank you. Okay, because then it says that we then reimburse them. We reimburse the provider.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like they're employees.
Right. Yeah. It's an odd situation because they're not really village employees in the traditional sense of being full-time and with benefits and those sorts of things. So
it's sort of a contract position.
It is, but yeah. Because of the nature of it, it doesn't fit contract either. They're technically village employees.
Okay. Could I ask another question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
But yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
You haven't used up your dumb one yet, so you have a free.
Okay, good.
This could be it.
6.13, chargeback of animal control, humane officer transportation fees. Can we just... I suggest we delete the control/human officer transportation fees because it's just animal transportation fees. I'm just trying to prevent from having to make changes later on. If someone else is going to be paid outside of the control or the humane officer. So I would say charge back of the animal transportation fees, period.
Instead of specifically saying who it's by?
Yes. Because if sometime at a later point, much like we're making the change today, because the Humane Society doesn't pick it up anymore, if we change who does that, if it goes back to a Humane Society, we're going to have to change the ordinance again.
That would make a difference.
Just a question. Just to make it easy.
That's sort of the title of the what this really means to me is talking about is the person who does that kind of work.
Right.
Okay.
Not a specific agency, I don't think. That's the way I read it. It really reads, you know, the actual fee charged by the person who does this kind of work, whether we call them an animal control or a humane officer.
Okay.
To the village.
And the last question? This is probably the dumb one. Why did we scratch pick up care and detention of animals? Do we not charge for that any longer?
We don't pick up the care and for animals. All we do is pick them up and take them to the animal shelter.
Okay.
In the contract, when this verbiage was put in at that time, the Humane Society provided all of that service to the village,
okay,
including pickup. Humane Society does not do pickup anymore for us, so that was why this changed and added the transportation fee, because we're doing that contracting in a different manner for that now.
Okay. Thank you.
And so would this include everything? The way I read that one is this sort of any fees associated with what these folks are doing we're gonna charge back for, and that's basically the header, right?
Basically, what we're charging is a $50 fee for transportation of that of the animal. That's what we're charging. So it is a transportation fee. We have.
But if there's a day where we sort of, I'm thinking along the same lines as Trustee Raptor, where we maybe switch back and we have the, then do we have to switch the ordinance again? Or is there a way to phrase it that says all costs associated with the pickup and transportation, and where there are no costs associated with pickup right now, because we're not doing it that way. But is there a way to phrase it so that if we switch back to the old system, that we won't have to go back and switch the ordinance again? Is that what you're getting at, Trustee Raptor?
Yes.
You know, pickup is, I guess, the same thing as transportation, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all inclusive.
Okay.
They're picking it up, they're transporting it to the main site, or transporting it to the shelter in Bellevue.
And that's how I read the original header, that this is sort of the general header of stuff involved in picking up dogs and bringing them places.
Right.
That would be a good title.
That's how I read that, the header, the way it is right now, Trustee Raptor. But if you think it reads differently and says something more specific, you can definitely propose an amendment to include pickup in that.
My thought was to make it as general as possible, to include all fees associated with picking up, transporting, and caring for any animals.
Would the wording, changing the wording of transportation to collection, encompass more of what we're looking for? Or did I just use up my dumb question?
No, that was a good one.
This is just for transportation. If there's a whole other process, but when they go down there and the person picks the animal up, they get charged. This is just for transportation. This doesn't cover the whole.
But right now, there's no pickup fee, right?
Right. That's what this
but
is
in the future, if there is a pickup fee, we're wondering whether Animal Control Humane Officer Transportation would cover it. I think it does, because I think it's part of transportation to pick up.
How about care for it? Because we're changing it, because we used to care for the animal and we don't any longer.
Right.
So I'm just trying to prevent us from having to go back next time if we do start caring for the animals after we collect them. I don't know that it's a big deal. It's just something.
So transportation and care fees would probably cover it.
Yeah.
And there are no care fees right now because we're not in that business. But what you're saying, in the future, we wouldn't have to go back. The thing is, if we added a care fee, we'd probably have to change the ordinance for that reason as well. So we have to go back anyway and change it, Trustee Raptor.
Okay.
Trustee Genrich.
I think the way it's written works for now, and I think we should go with it as it is. And if the practice changes in the future, we can address it at that time. We're early on with this relationship, and I think it'll go well for now.
Any further discussion? Trustee Raptor, did you want to propose an amendment to the motion? Or are you satisfied?
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Who proposed and who seconded?
I seconded.
Anything further, Trustees Darn or Gingrich? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 21. Trustee Lotna, or Trustee. How many votes did you get, right? DEO Lotna is going to update us on the sexual offender status. For those of you who weren't here, mainly the trustees, but some of the folks who are visiting, this came up, I don't know, 3-4 years ago when Green Bay, was it longer than that, when Green Bay instituted their sexual offender residency ordinance, and it was and is quite restrictive. And the fear was that the sexual offender population would then choose Alloway as a primary residence. And we had multiple conversations in open meetings with the Department of Corrections. We had some people who were sexual offenders themselves or family members from sexual offenders. We had people from who were residents who had concerns, obviously.
And we chose to, based on some information and research, not only by the Department of Corrections, but some other social science research, that suggests that if you restrict too much where an offender can live or where anyone can live, they're just going to go underground, and they're going to live in places where they're not supposed to, but no one will know it. And that paints a worse picture than encouraging offenders to register in the communities and then know exactly where they are and have a strong police presence in that community. And at the time, we had DEO Flannery working with us, and who developed a very strong system with the assistance of the county police in making sure that there were regular visits to offenders, that Officer Flannery accompanied the Department of Corrections when they did their quarterly visits, is it? And you can discuss that DEO lab now. And basically, sexual offenders knew that our DEO was in the community and was watching them, and that that they shouldn't or couldn't get out of line. So we chose to take that approach with the understanding we'd keep our eyes on it to see if there were any problems with the offenders living in the village, and if the proportion of offenders was disproportionate for Alloway versus other communities. You might expect that we might get a few more than a Green Bay because their ordinance is so restrictive. But other communities develop somewhat similar ordinances that I don't think are quite as restrictive as Green Bay's, but some of them come close. So we've been getting relatively regular reports from DEO Lot now on that, and that's what he's here tonight to update us on, because we've had some recent establishment of residency by sexual offenders in the village. This came up, again, years ago, and we had a little bit of a heart-to-heart with the Department of Corrections because they weren't notifying us to our satisfaction when they were thinking of placing someone in the community and when they already had. And there are certain rules as to when they have to notify the village or when they have to notify the residents. And we stated a strong preference that even if you don't have to, we wish that you would. Because the whole goal of this is just to make sure that everyone knows what's going on, and we can keep tabs on it. So that's the approach we took. I've gotten emails from some of you in the audience. I don't know who they might be with regard to this issue. My personal opinion, and you can look back in the minutes of those meetings, is I think we took the responsible approach, not only socially responsible, but to the residents of Alloway, that instead of encouraging people to go underground and putting our residents at risk, what we were trying to do is just create a closer connection between our law enforcement and offenders. So unless there's evidence to suggest that it isn't working, that's sort of my approach to this, and it has been since we implemented the ordinance. So any discussion before we hear from DEO Lot now? I'm sure there'll be quite a bit afterwards. But I just wanted to sort of provide a context for all of you. DEO Lot now, please.
As far as sheer numbers go, what I do several times a year is I get updated lists from the
department. Rick, could you come up here?
What I was saying is, as far as the numbers go, what I've been doing and have been since I've been here several times a year, I get updated lists from the Department of Corrections, and I keep an updated list of our sex offenders. We do continue to do periodic checks. A lot of times we focus and really do checks around Halloween time when children are out and about. And that's a big part of the standard sex offender rules that they have to abide by, things like they can't have their lights on, they can't put up decorations, anything that would attract children, that sort of thing. Right now in the village of Alloway, we have 27 registered sex offenders. Excuse me. Three of those were juveniles when the offenses occurred, which means it's not public record, as the rest of them would be. So the list I compiled for you for today shows the adult offenders, and that's all public record, which can be found on Family Watchdog, the website, I don't know, .com. It's through the Wisconsin Department of Corrections.
Now, Rick, that doesn't include the Romeo and Juliet cases where the offender might have been
18 or an adult or 19 and had a boyfriend or girlfriend who was a minor and was convicted for that.
There are some of those cases on there.
Right, but those would not be the three that were juveniles when the offense took place.
I'm not sure I understand.
You did. Your first stat was of the list of 27.
Yeah.
There are still three that don't appear on the list because they were minors at the time of the offense.
Correct.
But on the list might be Romeo and Juliet cases where the person was 19 and had a boyfriend or a girlfriend that was not a legal adult and were convicted of a crime in that way.
Yes.
For consensual sex between boyfriend and girlfriend. We don't know how many of those that's true, but that's sort of another... These are the discussions we had with the DOC when we were doing this, is that one problem is everyone gets put in the sexual offender category and you don't know the circumstances around which this took place. And so I just wanted to make that perfectly clear that there are multiple categories of offenses and we've just sort of thrown all of them into this group of 27 that D.O. Lopnow just mentioned.
Yeah, that's correct. And I couldn't tell you which cases specifically are those, but I know I've talked to at least a couple offenders in the village that was the case. So as far as numbers go compared to other communities, in the last couple of days when I've been trying to come up with numbers, what I found was it's more difficult to have an exact number than you think, because not every community, such as Green Bay, does it the same way I do. I was able to talk to the city of De Pere, an officer there. They have 29 registered offenders in the city of De Pere, so fairly comparable to here in the Village Valley. The reason some of them that don't have the exact numbers readily available is because when we do the searches, and even when I get my updates, the Department of Corrections, whether I do it on the website or I call them for the information, they search by zip code. So, for example, when I get it, I get a list of everybody that's registered in 54301. So what I do is I go through the list and pick out the alleyway addresses. So you can imagine in the city of Green Bay, however many zip codes they might have, which they also share with neighboring villages and everything else, they do have their complete lists. I'm certainly not trying to say they're not aware of who's living there and what's going on, but with their numbers, it's a little more difficult to pick through. And that was what I found with other villages. I also contacted the Village of Eshwabnan. They didn't have an exact number readily available either, but they do have their full list for their zip codes that are in the Village of Eshwabnan. I was able to find out overall, searching just in Brown County, there are 547 records for registered sex offenders, so there's that many registered in the whole county. So, as I said, the list I provided tonight is information straight off of what's essentially the DOC website, which is all public record. And if you look somebody up on that website, it shows pictures, details of the charge, whether they're active supervision or terminated supervision. I should clarify that in the list I provided. One shows active supervision, which means they actively report to probation and parole officer. In those cases, most of the time, either I have a face-to-face with them when they want to move into the village, or they do it at the sheriff's department with somebody there. That's not always the case with offenders that are considered terminated, which means they're no longer on active supervision or reporting to a probation agent, but they are required to register with the registry.
Okay. Looking at the numbers, it doesn't look like there's a disproportionate number of offenders in Alloway relative to the surrounding communities. Would you characterize that as true or not true?
I would say that's true. I could still work on getting more exact numbers from the city of Green Bay and other areas if you'd like. But, yeah, I think 27 out of 547 would be pretty proportionate.
Especially relative. I mean, I'm thinking relative to the population, too, if you're expecting. Yes, Trustee Harris.
Population of Brown County is about 250,000, right?
Yeah,
okay, so proportional That'd be about, if we've got 547, that's about 0.2%. That'd be in line with DePere, in line with slightly higher for Alloy because of the smaller population. So that I agree in terms of the proportions.
The population. I'm going to ask Captain Schultz, is there someone here from the DOC? I'm not sure I recognize you, sir. Is that, no?
Yes, Ted Newman, who's from the Department of Corrections here as well.
Can someone describe the process by which an offender is placed into the village? Yes, please, if you wouldn't mind. I'm sorry, I don't think we've met. You're the new, is it Tom Smith that was?
No, we met. I was with Tom.
We have met, I'm sorry.
That's okay, no worries. Jed Newman with the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, Division of Community Corrections, 200 North Jefferson Street, Green Bank. To clarify, the Department of Corrections does not place. We aren't in the housing business, the residence business. These are adults. Like in the juvenile system, that takes place, that occurs. We rely on them to be resourceful. However, we are very guarded in what takes place with their case and their case plan. In the case that I'm aware of that's drawn attention, this individual had a family crime. So we go to great lengths to protect that family member so that this doesn't happen again. In fact, about 90% of all sex offenses occur within that circle of trust, and where the offender knows the victim knows the offender. So in a case that brought this to light is the individual was looking for a stable residence, which you cited social scientists that we rely on evidence-based practices, and a stable residence is one of those factors that decreases recidivism and promotes success. It's one of the top two, as well as a pro-social support network, which this individual has. So all things considered, it's moving in the right direction. The case does not apply to the two-strike, which would be a special bulletin notification, where law enforcement, through an act of legislation, is responsible for the notification of a community. Those are two-strike cases, and certain statutes that fall under those.
I'm sorry, now. So there are certain criteria. Two strikes means there's two offenses?
Two offenses, yes.
So if there are two offenses on file, then...
Of certain crimes, right. There's a list of statutes, and if two offenses apply to that, that individual is considered a special bulletin notification case. In the event that that happens, Brown County has a core team made up of a representative of law enforcement from each jurisdiction in this county, district attorney, victim witness coordinator. Cases presented to them, and they determine at that time a level of notification. In a case where it was a family crime, a crime of incest, the mother and daughter would, if that's who's applicable, would be notified. If it was something that went a little bit outside of that, usually a media or press release took place. If it's someone that they determine is truly predatorial, that has a number of victims, then a community notification meeting takes place in the area where the individual is planning to reside.
Okay, even if it's not a two-strike situation, the law enforcement from the municipality where the offender is going to be taking residence is automatically notified, is that right?
If the person's case applies to the registry, in this case, Lobnow cited, that individual is responsible per state statute to register in that jurisdiction. And we have a very close working relationship with law enforcement in Alloway and all the other communities where the agents are in constant communication with them. And, they partner for home visits. So we do this here, we do it in DePere as well.
So if someone is required to register, they move into, let's say in this case, Alloway, mm-hmm. And they register with the county police or with DEO Lobnow, or?
I've had it happen both ways.
Right, okay.
And some people have come in to me and gone straight to the sheriff's department,
right,
just to make sure they're covered.
Sure.
But
and then
either or.
you then notify the Department of Corrections, or does the offender have the responsibility of your...
We're aware of that, yeah. They have the responsibility, as do we, of knowing where they reside, because we continually do home visits, they continually report to us. If people convicted of these offenses have a much higher level of supervision than those that would be convicted of, say, a theft or a burglary. That's just our commitment to the state and the safety of the citizens.
Okay. And then as far as notifying residents, that would happen post facto, right? Because the person moves into a municipality and then notifies the DEO or
right.
the county sheriff that, hey, I'm living here and I'm here to register. But then it's already been done, though. They've already moved in. It's not like they're asking permission. They're just notifying. And there's, I would imagine, a time period between the time that someone moves in
and the time that they
and
register.
The time they're required to register.
Yes.
Right? But in any case, it's already been done. Right?
But if a plan is not in the best interest of public safety, that plan will be eliminated for a residence.
Right, I'm just wondering, if everything goes well, though, the residents won't know until the person's already moved in.
Right.
Right. And is there a way for residents to be notified before the person moves in? Because do they present the plan to you in the plan? Is it where they're going to, they plan on taking residence, is that right?
Yes.
And so is there a way for the DOC to notify the municipality that this is the intention, in case the municipality wants to notify the residents before the person moves in?
In this case, he did.
Before the person moved in. Okay.
No, we did not know.
Yeah, it was my impression. Sorry, I picked this up this afternoon. Sorry.
Is that the normal process, that you will notify the municipality when you're reviewing the plan?
We direct them to register with the municipality that they're going to reside in. And since this is not a two-strike case, law enforcement per statute is not responsible for notifying the neighborhood. That's where our sex offender registration program comes into play, where anyone can go on at any time and find out where a person lives. That's why we have that, and that's why we want it to be accurate, which is what you cited before.
Right. But then that would require people from looking at that every so often to see if someone has already
right.
set up residence in the village. And so I think there are a couple of impractical things about that. One, I'm not going to get on this registry every 3 days to see if someone moved in my neighborhood. But two, I'm wondering if it's part of the process where the municipality can be notified. When the person puts together a plan,
mm-hmm.
have they already registered in the municipality? Or are they saying, this is what I plan on doing?
Right. Investigation is done of the plan. And if everything is according to the best interest of public safety as well as their case, then we proceed and move forward.
Okay, so the DOC is making that determination on behalf of the municipality, that this is a proper place for the person to live and it won't, there's not a lot of risk. But can the municipality be notified that we have approved a plan for someone to move into your municipality before the person actually moves in?
I don't want to say assume there could be a way. Yes, there's no device in place for that now. There's
okay,
no
that's
policy
what I was asking.
Or procedure in place now. The only thing that's in place per statute is the notification on a special bulletin notification case.
Okay. So there is no, it's not part of the process right now.
Right.
Is there a reason that it couldn't be? Is it illegal, for example, for you to say, hey, Alloway, this person has in their plan that they want to move into your community. We think it's okay, and we're notifying you that you might get someone coming into the village in the next couple of weeks and applying for registering as an offender. Would there be anything
illegal, no.
improper or illegal about that?
No.
Is that something we could put in a policy here to require that prior to establishing residency?
That would be something I don't want to mislead you or give you a wrong answer. I would have you refer to your village attorney for that. I know there have been some issues with that, and that's why I throw caution to that.
I know we had this case with a place right on the corner of Libel and Green, and and it seemed too close to Langlade, and it seemed too close to Zesty's, and it seemed like a main thoroughfare down to the park, to Green Isle Park. And this was years ago, so I'm not remembering all the specifics, but I thought we were trying to, the problem that we were having is that we wanted to be notified before it happened rather than there be a big confusion and irritation like I think we've witnessed now, because it's already happened.
Right.
And not only has it already happened, we didn't notify people, and we can't expect them to be checking this website all the time. So I'm just feeling like there's got to be, and I know it's going to happen. I know that the Department of Corrections likes what we did for our ordinance, and they, I think the Department of Corrections thinks it's responsible, and it gives you more options to place these people, because they need a place to live, and not all of them are your stereotypical perverted, predator. You know, some of them are like I said, Romeo and Juliet cases, and many of them, we had to make a decision about someone on...
It was density issue. On
yeah, density issue, yeah, right. And this was a really... this guy was a really productive member of our community, and it was a very difficult decision to make. But and so I know that nobody wants a sexual offender living next to them. And that's just true, even if they seem to have been really rehabilitated, or they seem to be really, or they made a mistake and they seem remorseful. Most people are like, given the choice, I'd rather not, right? So I understand that if we make policies where we're notifying people beforehand that, hey, this might happen, it's going to be more of a pain for the Department of Corrections, but I think it's the responsible thing to do, that we consider a process where we're notifying people before it's happened rather than after it's happened, or not at all, and relying on them to go out to a website. And I think there's room for, I think most people are reasonable. But I think when you get the most vehement reactions, like I think some of the emails that I got, is when they didn't know at all, and it happened without their input or without their knowledge. And so that's what I think we have to work on between the board and the residents and the DOC and law enforcement to make sure that we have a process that's responsible for all involved. I think there's a win-win here, or at least a compromise that can be made to make everyone a little bit more comfortable with this as we move forward.
Just a point of clarification, yeah. You used the word that we placed before, and again, we don't place.
Right.
And second, it's not just a problem for DOC, it's also a problem for law enforcement, because I think we're at 17 ordinances in Brown County now,
yeah.
In various jurisdictions of all shapes and sizes. And when they started to hit, the district attorney's caseload went up, I think it was 200% for non-registration. I mean, Brown County, we were doing good at DOC when we were at 94 to 96% as far as compliance with the registry. And at the national average, it was about 74 to 76%. So our commitment to the community is one that we take, very seriously.
And I apologize. I don't want to go, the DOC doesn't place and say, hey, you're going to go live in Alloway in this spot. However, the DOC does approve the plan. And it's easier to approve a plan in Alloway than it is to approve a plan in Green Bay, because their ordinance is much, much more restrictive. So that's the point I was trying to make.
I see. Yeah.
That the ordinance that we passed in Alloway, I still think is responsible. And it really helps the DOC do their job of being able to actually pass plans that will give people some place to live. If people can't find a place to live, let's say that all of our ordinances in this area are really restrictive and they can't find a place to live, what happens? Do they stay in? Do they go to jail? Do they what
no,
happens?
That homelessness is no longer a crime for that, for what you just said. There was a time with, again, certain offenders that we would chaperone them from jail. Book in, book out, book in every day.
Yeah.
And that there was a, I forgot the state Supreme Court case, forgive me, but that was declared that we can't do that any longer. And what happens, bottom line, is they're homeless. If you'd see our waiting room in the winter, you see people coming in with blankets and snowsuits. I mean, they're homeless, roaming around. Hard for us to supervise, hard to track for law enforcement. And difficult for them to be employed at anything, and that's one of our goals is, get them to be productive again.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm cannibalizing on all of our time and discussions here. Is there
just a question? And I don't know if this is the appropriate time for it. I think we've got some residents here that have some concerns. Oh, any reassurance that you can offer? You know, I mean, in general terms, I mean, it's case by case. This was, I think, an individual that Green Bay would not allow to live in their community, and he's now in ours, and there's a lot of concern.
Right. Can I guarantee on anyone?
No, not guarantee. Just I'm looking for some reassurance.
Okay, reassurance that he's following his case plan. There have been no violations. Yes, he's following his case plan. No, there have been no violations. He's moving forward with employment as well. He has family support here as well. While we supervise people, and this is not current, this was 2 years ago, for someone on a sexually related crime, while they're under supervision with the Department of Corrections, there was less than a 1% recidivism rate for them committing another sex offense while they're on supervision. And again, that's not current as of this year. That was a couple of years ago. I don't have the current statistics. But we take, and it was important that you pointed out, each case bears its own merits. We don't supervise every case the same. Computer crimes, child crimes, predator crimes, they're supervised differently as they should be because they all have different dynamics. And I'll say it again because it bears repeating, one of the most strong predictors of the likelihood of not recidivating is that they have a stable residence and also pro-social support. And if we tie them into that, then we've, you know, gone half the way in you know, assisting them. And that's what we want. And it's not that, please, I want to stress this. I don't enable what these people do. I don't condone what they do. But it's my responsibility to carry out my job for the state of Wisconsin. And that's why I talk about these ordinances. We rely on evidence-based practices, and I challenge you to find an ordinance or a state law that has been shown to be effective in reducing sex offenses. Look at the two Minnesota studies. They throw it right back that they are not. The study done by Michigan and California, they've shown that they are not. Iowa state law wanted to be repealed by the very person who used to be a sheriff that put it into place. Their compliance with their registry plummeted below 50% after they enacted that law.
Do we have any cases of recidivism in Alloway since we passed the ordinance?
I can tell you my personal experience coming up on the 3 years I've been here. I'm aware of one case where the person committed further crimes and is currently, I think he said he's going to trial this year, and that was from last year. And to my knowledge, it didn't involve any other Alloway citizens or anything to do with the community as far as victims go.
So these folks, someone could get convicted as a predator or labeled as a predator for child pornography. Is that correct?
Yep.
If there are two.
If there are two.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, a little more discussion from the board, and just if there is some, and then we'll open it up. Trustee Radford.
Just a quick question. What does it take, what's the difference, or how does someone come off the active supervision list?
When they've completed their period of their sentence. We're in truth and sentencing a little beyond two now. I don't want to cause confusion. That was the old law, the new law. Truth and sentencing, then one, and then two. So as of now, they get a period of incarceration up front, followed by a period of extended supervision. Once they've completed that, they are off our supervision. However, there's 2 points to the registry, lifetime and 15 years. So when you look at numbers, you're going to see it grow because the registry is fluid. I mean, you know, people continue to get out of prison. People continue to be sentenced, even though not to prison, they're still required to register because they've been convicted of one of these certain crimes. So it's a natural progression of the registry that it has gotten larger over the years.
Okay, so of the 27 people or so that we have, about half of them are terminated. So it's been 15 years since?
It would just mean that they've completed their sentence, so to speak.
The sentence. Their sentence. Not the extended supervision.
No, the sentence would include that extended supervision.
So their supervision with us, but they're still required to register.
So, yeah, what if, like you say, what happens, you know, they'll do X amount of years incarcerated and then be on active supervision after that for so many years. After that's done, if they're still required to be on the registry, then it's, that's what we refer to it as terminated. So they're not on active supervision.
And the active supervision is a case-by-case basis, or is it a set?
No, that's
number
a sentence that the judge gave them, that we are responsible for the supervision in the community. So they, those that have been sentenced to prison will get a period of time of incarceration followed by a period of extended supervision. So someone may be convicted of a crime, and the judge will say give them 5 years of incarceration followed by 8 years of extended supervision.
So, but it's a case-by-case basis. It's
right.
Not the same amount of years for extended supervision.
No.
It depends on the judge.
Right. And type of crime.
Right.
Yep. History, prior record, all those things go into that.
Trustee Rafter, did you have anything?
Last question. Since we changed the ordinance, has the amount of sex offenders in Alloway grown?
Kind of same thing. I can tell you what I've seen since I've been here, mm-hmm. about 3 years. I think when I started, the list was at about 15 total. So in the last 3 years, it has grown, yes. I can go back and check. I still have them, you know, somewhere to get the number for sure.
But as the gentleman pointed out, the list has grown.
Right.
Right, as well. So right. The number of people on the list. I don't remember there being an appreciable increase, because that's what we were afraid of. Right, when we established the ordinance, that there would be just this influx of people from Green Bay coming here, and it just didn't happen.
Right, Green Bay's SORB, Sex Offender Review Board, that hears the appeal cases, is approving approximately 75% to 76%, depending on the year, of the cases that appear before them. Last year, the peer repealed their residency sex offender ordinance. The city council had met over time, asked for our input, asked for law enforcement's input, and they have an officer that works directly with us as well, and the city council repealed it, found it wasn't necessary, and has experienced the same, that there's not been this influx or flood into the community.
They've repealed it completely, even the
yes.
high density, the whole...
The residency ordinance. Residency ordinance, yeah. That restricts today's daycares, park, school, that part of it.
Is there a numeric formula that you use for review of community population and residency statewide? I mean, do you follow a numeric system of how you're reviewing and approving?
It's not a numeric system. It's based upon the dynamics of the offense. Like in the case where there would be incest, we wouldn't allow that person to live near his or her victim. If it's someone that had an age group of kids, 2 or 3, we would not allow them to reside near a day park, a daycare park, or grade school, or high school if that was the population. We have not allowed people to live in their own homes because the dynamics of the case, the dynamics of the offense, warrant that we make that decision, that they shouldn't be near a certain place.
Okay,
that they don't know.
That's not the question. The question
is... I misunderstood you. I apologize.
That's quite all right. I was not clear. Do you follow a system, a numeric system, for placement of people according to population of village, town, city? Are there caps, in other words?
We don't place people. You know,
you approve the programs that are brought before you. And
we would approve a residence or deny a residence in the interest of public safety. We view it, and the case dynamic, just if a person had 2 or 3, say, teenage girls, they wouldn't be able to reside near a mall, near a high school, a place like that. We don't have anything that elaborate statewide. You know, we have so many offices throughout the state that I don't know how we would accomplish that.
Trustee Dennis, I think the answer is no. I don't think there are any caps.
That's
on a case-by-case basis. And if the person is proposing something that they view as being appropriate, then they'll place. And if that means 100 in Alloway, then that's what would happen. If offenders wanted to live here and they were submitting proposals that were deemed appropriate, they would be passed, not placed, right? They would be passed or accepted by the DOC, but there doesn't seem to be a formula about how many they can accept.
And with all due respect, if I could throw caution to that, just because someone wants to move here for the sake that your ordinance is different than Green Bay's, that isn't reason for us to allow them to further investigate that. There has to be further reason.
Oh, sure.
The same, you know, when De Pere dropped and repealed their residency ordinance, the same thing. Oh, we had offenders say, well, I want to move to De Pere now. They weren't allowed. They didn't have a support network there. They had no ties there at all. You know, that's the commitment we make. Can we guarantee it in every time? No, because some of these people are no longer under our supervision.
Getting back to your question, just as far as the numbers-wise go, I hope I can clarify for sure. Say, you know, Alloway has a population of 14-some thousand. There isn't a saying, okay, based on that population, we can only allow X number of offenders to live there. So that wouldn't be part of the case there.
Okay, I'm feeling like I want to open it up to our visitors, please. So unless there are objections, we'll suspend the rule. Could you stay up here? I think
sure.
They might have questions that maybe only you can answer. Yeah. They won't hit, I don't think. Yes, ma'am, please.
So shooting through 50th Half Street, I agree with you as far as if somebody has two offenses, then you notify the people, otherwise you don't. If the neighbors know, we can be watching and preventing a second offense. If we don't know, and we're not going to be checking the registry all the time whenever there's an open house somewhere and just see if somebody's going to move in, and we don't know ahead of time, you can't prevent on the one end. The man who moved in on our street is three houses away from a bus stop. And there's all kinds of girls that hang out at the bus stop. I don't know how good that is.
Thank you. Ma'am, please.
Hi there. Sabrina Fisher, 357 Coolidge Street. I get emotional. I'm sorry. We've been talking all night about children's safety. I don't have children, but I have a nephew. I don't want him to be the second strike. I would want to know who's here, who is in my neighborhood, so I can protect him. There is a daycare a half a mile down the street, right off of Riverside Drive, that's opening up. You have a park three streets over, kids constantly up and down the streets riding their bikes. Why should we feel like we have to hide in our house? Or be like, stay away from that house. You know, I just don't, like she said, there's a bus stop three houses down from this person. You have kids. Parents, you want to talk about having your kids, you know, be safe on their sidewalks. Wouldn't you rather know that there's a sexual offender in there rather than having a sidewalk? You know, I totally agree with the sidewalks.
Like a waterman, you're on the wrong issue.
I'm pro sidewalks. However, I don't like, there shouldn't have to be a second offense in order for your community to know that someone has moved into that neighborhood. Because if any of you have kids, you would not want your child to be that second strike, just in order for the rest of the community to know that that person lives there. And I don't think it was right that we had to find out on our own that this person has moved in and has lived there for 3 weeks before our neighbors came and told us. You know, I just think that there needs to be a better system for that, because I know no one would want them just to find out that, hey, somebody moved in next door, and guess what? You brought them cookies, and then you find out, hey, they're a sexual offender. I'm not going to let my kids play outside. So that's all I have to say. Pro sidewalks.
Yes, sir, please.
Brandon Padola, 356 Taft Street. One question that I have, you had mentioned that you had a really good relationship with Department of Correction and law enforcement to have them notify you prior to sex offender moving in. Were you aware of the one that moved in? I'm sure you know which person
no.
we're talking about. You did not know.
No.
You were not. Nobody on this board was notified.
No.
Okay.
Oh. It seems like in this case, the offender moved in and then came to register, right?
He registered with the sheriff's department, and he came here.
But after he had already moved in?
I think it was in the process when he stopped in.
I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name, sir, from the Department of Corrections.
Jed Newman.
Mr. Newman. How long between the time that a plan is approved when someone would actually move in? And it would be immediate?
If there isn't some...
But it would be possible for the next day, right? Is that right? An offender submits a proposal to you, and it's reviewed, and then you say this looks good, and then what happens?
It would never happen within a day.
Okay.
A week would be probably the earliest.
So it has to go through a bureaucracy. Imagine that in government, right?
Yeah,
so it has to go through a process after you, whatever committee reviews it and approves the plan, there would have to go through a process before the person would have to move in. So there's about a week in between there, and that's, I think, a week that we could utilize to actually notify the municipality or the law enforcement representative from the municipality that this person has applied to move into your area and it's been approved by the Department of Corrections. But in this case, it didn't happen like that. And I think in many cases, it's probably, like I said at the beginning of my comments, post facto, right? The person moves in and then they go and see DEO LOPNO to let them know that they're...
There are many cases, especially with those that aren't on the active supervision, that they're not necessarily required to come do a face-to-face visit with law enforcement. I mean, they are required to register, but it's a little bit different than what I refer to as a face-to-face. They actually have a form that they're required to bring in, have the law enforcement agency sign off on. And there are cases where when I get my updated lists, there's new names on there that we don't...
How do they register?
They still register through the sheriff's department, but it's not necessarily... The notification doesn't go hand-in-hand with registering. So
okay.
I think that gets back to maybe as a village, exploring the legalities of it, can we put a policy in place that some kind of notification prior
right.
to...
Right. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. Since I spent half my day preparing this, I would like a chance to read it. I'll try to keep it brief based on some of the things that I learned throughout the evening tonight. One thing I want to do, ask, I mean, it is public record who this person is. Am I allowed to use his name, or should I refrain from doing that?
I think it's public record, and he's... I think you can use the person's name.
Okay, thank you. As I said, my name is Brandon Padola, and I live next door to the house where Mr. Brandt currently resides. My family and I have lived in our home for the past 16 years. We've enjoyed a quiet, family-friendly atmosphere that our neighborhood has provided and have never felt threatened or unsafe in our home or yard. That all changed last week when we learned that a registered sex offender moved next door and had been living there for nearly a month without us knowing who or what he is. We were very disturbed when we learned the nature of his crime, which was against a child. We no longer feel comfortable in our own yard or comfortable inside of our home without the doors locked during the day, especially when our child is home. Over the years, we have made our backyard into an area where we spend a lot of time enjoying campfires, entertaining friends and family, gardening, playing with our dog, and playing catch with our child. We no longer feel that we can do these things, knowing what sort of person may be watching us from his windows. I do appreciate the information that has been provided, but I want to make it very clear that I am here to find out what we as a neighborhood can do to get him out. I realize that Green Bay has stricter sex offender residency laws in Alloway, but I cannot believe that we are completely powerless when the overwhelming majority of the families in our neighborhood probably want him out. Our neighborhood is not an appropriate place for a sex offender, especially one whose victim was a child. There are young children all up and down the block who walk and ride their bikes past his house every day. As mentioned, there's a school bus stop on the corner three doors down. Taft Street is a thoroughfare for people going to the Fox River Trail. I'm quite honestly shocked and amazed that Mr. Brand was allowed to be placed in his current location, knowing that a minor lives right next door. That minor is my child. He goes to bed every night now, knowing that he's sleeping less than 100 feet from a convicted child molester. Can you imagine how creepy and uneasy that must feel? While he is at an age where he can be left alone for short periods of time, he no longer feels comfortable being home alone. My wife and I have gotten indications that some of the parents of his friends are not comfortable with letting their children visit our home, much less stay overnight as they have done in the past. The obvious and easy way out of this nightmare would be for me to list my home and move my family to a safer community. However, we do not feel that we should be forced out of our home and neighborhood by a convicted sex offender. Then there's the reality that my property value is likely not worth a fraction of what it was before he moved in. My family will most likely have to take a very financial or substantial financial loss in order to move to a safer community if nothing is done to make our neighborhood safe once again. My family and my neighborhood do not deserve this. We are law-abiding citizens of the village of Alloway. We have all lived peacefully and happily next to one another during the time that we have lived in the neighborhood. We have kept all of our homes and yards maintained and have made our neighborhood an attractive place for young couples looking to start a family. I feel that allowing Mr. Brand to remain in his current residence will put a black mark on our neighborhood and cause families not only to avoid buying homes in our block, but cause many current residents to leave. As a neighborhood, we have kept up our end in making an attractive place to live. Now we ask that you hold beer end in making it safe. That's what I'll have. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Kara Sommerfeld, 255 Taft Street.
Cryer's sister.
I have the little boy, he's two, and I babysit during the day a one-year-old. And I know that there's other families on the street that babysit. And, you know, if if the neighbors on that street knew who was living down the street from us, they wouldn't be happy, but, you know, none of us knew what was going on, and that's the sad part. You know, I had to find out from my sister, like, a week ago, and I don't get any notification, and I don't think that anyone would want a sexual offender moving in by them. If they have kids, grandkids, you know, nephew, do you want someone like that living by you? I don't think anyone, including you guys, would want that. You know, if you want it, then have them move in by you, because I don't want it. And, you know, you say that you can't condone them for what you did. I do, because it's disgusting. And that is such a perverted thing to do to a young child who can't defend themselves. And I don't want that in my community. And if they are going to stay there, then I won't. So that's, you know, and if you want a good person to lead your community, then let them stay. But I know that there's going to be a lot more people that would move out if they know that Alloway is okay with people like that living there. And if you see the children that are on that street, I would hope that you would think twice about letting them stay.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Brandon, that was a great, great speech. I'm Donna Schott. I wrote to most of you when I sent you minutes for the Green Bay board minutes. And you pretty much know how I feel. You said that you don't place sex offenders next to little girls. My back, I'm right across.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Schott, or you want me to call you Donna?
Okay, sorry.
If you could address the board.
Okay, I live right across the street from Brandon, and right behind me are two little girls. Next to the two little girls are two more little girls. The house over, there's two more little girls. So we got six little girls right next to him. He can easily go in my backyard once he is available to roam. I have not talked to those neighbors. I haven't had a chance to yet, but I plan to, and you'll probably hear from them. I'm with the neighborhood. I want him out. Whatever we can do to get him out, please help us. The Green Bay board interviewed him. Why don't you interview him? We'll come along and we'll ask him questions too. He didn't assault this girl, little girl, once. He did it in a 3-year span. That's more than once. You know? I'm afraid to go outside my front door. Not that he wants an older woman, but you don't know. I just can't even walk in front of my house. I'm afraid for the kids that go up and down that street. I sit in the front, by my computer in the front of the house, and as I watch little girls go by his house, I'm thinking, is he staring at them? Is he watching them? He's home all the time. I don't know where, if he's working. He said he's working. I know he's home all the time. that can't be healthy for him. I just don't know what else. I mean, I could go on all night and not, probably not make any sense, but the Green Bay board also questioned another victim, but he said, and these were his exact words, Brent stated, this is the only sexual offense for which he's been convicted of. These are his exact words. Yet another board member asked him of another victim, and he said he only watched her do cartwheels and gymnastics and didn't watch her undress. So there must have been another victim. It's just that he didn't get caught. So, yes, he is a danger to Alloway. I don't know what it's going to take to get him out of there, but please help us. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, can I make one more point?
I'm going to, yeah, I'll come back to you. I just want to give everyone else a chance to speak. Anyone else who'd like to speak?
I just have a question. What was the criteria you used when you did your study for the plan to allow him to choose that place to live?
Ma'am, could you give your name and address for the record, please? Thank you.
My name is Pamela Wood. I live at 368 Taft Street, just right next to him.
And Ms. Wood, could you address the board, please? Thank you.
Asking him the question.
That's so you need to address the board. Thank you.
What the criteria is when they do the plan, what do they check out? I mean, if they can do it within a week, are they going to find all the statistics about all the little girls, all the little boys, how many kids use that street for the bus stop every morning, very early in the morning, and late at night when they're dropped off and their parents aren't there to pick them up, like in the other situation here tonight? They walk home. And sometimes in the winter, it's very dark. And you don't, and we only got the one street light and the other one way down on Webster. So it's like, there's such opportunity. So what was studied?
Mr. Newman, what's involved in the, I mean, you mentioned the appropriateness of the location is?
It's dependent on the case dynamics. And as I mentioned in regard to this case, it was a family member, the priority went, and that he was not near that person. Sex offenders have a cycle and a pattern, and take a while to explain that, but when a person, and I cited the 90%, they usually stay within that. And in this case, we ensured that, you know, he was not near the person that he assaulted, who was a family member. He was not someone who went out searching for victims, you know, for his crime. It's well within that circle that I spoke
what
to.
What was the 90% that you...
About 90%, no, they're the perpetrator, 90%.
Oh, okay.
But that's not always the case. I work at Brown County Human Services for 36 years. And we appreciate the sheriff's office and all the police officers that help, that come out. But the volume has increased tremendously. Mm-hmm. So I know it isn't always just family members. But the question is, you said as long as they have a stable home, he lived with his wife and this young child in a stable home with a job. Yet he abused her for 3 years before she had the courage to come forward and tell what happened. So a stable home isn't always going to stop it from happening. So I'm just using that for the excuse that he needs this place for when there's so many children in the neighborhood. We have some children on the backside on Coolidge too. But there was also a sex offender there that was registered. And that was at least a couple years ago that somebody told me about that. I don't personally have children, but I watch out for them. I watch them on the street all the time and watch them having fun on their bikes and pushing the wagons with their little kids. You know, you do care, even if you don't. It's just, we have a neighborhood watch. We try. But we are concerned, and there's a lot of single women on that street, too, that we're concerned about. So if you would please help us. I don't know what you can do after the mother's already put the money down and bought the place. But I would have thought she would have had to have rules that she had to inform them before they even did that. You know, that this is where he's going to live. He would have had to be pre-approved first. And if he wasn't, then can it be rescinded that he should not be able to live there and she would have to rent it to somebody else then? something like that needs to be looked into, because I think it's a violation of an ordinance here that if she did not actually put out notification to you guys in time, then that has to end some sort of violation for our rights too. Let me check that out, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to this issue?
Circuit. Real quick, sorry to take up more of your time here, but part of his condition of release was to obtain full-time employment. Mr. Brand is not employed. How long does he have to find employment before he's in violation of the condition of his release?
Mr. Newman, do you?
I can too.
I know you said he was in the process of finding employment.
Right. Unfortunately, this population we work with has the scarlet letters on their SSO, and it's extremely difficult for them to get employment, or when an employer finds out or a coworker finds out, they're let go. In the case of many of our people who are on extended supervision, formerly known as parole, they have to work with temporary agencies, which is what he has been doing, day here, 2 days here. Is it permanent? Not now. But moving toward that.
So is it outlined in his plan?
Employment, yes.
That he has to have full-time employment, and then the question was, if he doesn't have full-time employment by a certain date, is there a...
Well, it comes down to if he's refusing to do it, and he's not, he's actively searching, but providing documentation to the agent. And to say it's difficult is an understatement. And I've been doing this in my present position since 1993.
I guess the question, though, is if it says in the conditions of his release that he has to have full-time employment.
Right, but he's working toward that. He's not refusing to do it like some people would, where we'd sanction them, impose conditions.
But is there a point at which you say, look, you've been trying for 2 years and now it's... could this go on forever where he's just working temp jobs? I understand.
Until someone hires him on, which he was promised at one place, and then they let him go. He was, this will be something that will be full-time for you. And 3 days later, he reported to the agent that he was let go from there. And it wasn't a result of his conduct or behavior.
So the condition should be more accurately stated that the person has to make earnest efforts to gain full-time employment, not that they have to actually do it, because...
Yeah, and I didn't review... Again, I apologize, I didn't have time. Okay. I got late notice of this, so I did not review the rules.
Fair enough. Thank you.
My last point is that it had been mentioned at one point, at least, that Mr. Brand has a very strong support system. We don't see that. He had visitors over on Saturday, and I believe that is the first time I have personally seen anyone at his house since he was moved in 3 to 4 weeks ago. So whatever support system this gentleman seems to have is not being seen by any people in the neighborhood. I just want to make that point.
Thank you.
Again, if there's anything you can do to help us out, we really appreciate it, any consideration you can give.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay, so Shooty 350 Tap Street. I do want to say it is reassuring to me that 90% of your statistics that the type of crime offender does is usually within that realm. So if he is an incestual offender, he most likely had a comfortable situation that he took advantage of, and most likely does it prey on others, but we don't know that. And we need to be notified as a community, like you said, if they're going to move in, we need to know so we can prevent that second offense. It is reassuring, a 90%, kind of a statistic, but we can all as a community do something about this. If we're going to have an ordinance of some sort, this would be something we should do and notify neighbors.
Thank you. Okay, what I'm taking out of this is, we need to work on this process. I think we have an opportunity to make sure that we notify people before things happen, at least this, a minimum of a week between the time that the plan is approved and the person would practically move in to notify residents. What I'm not clear on is there's a legal issue that we talked about before that I think we're going to ask Attorney Duffy to look into. But what I'm not clear on is I'm not sure what practical difference it would make. It would notify people beforehand, and there would be some comfort in knowing, which I think is something. But our ordinance clearly allows this person to be living there. So we can't, we have to follow our ordinance. So in this case, even if you'd been notified 3 weeks before the person moved in, you probably would have come to the board, there would have been a discussion. But I'm not sure that it would end it any differently because we have in our ordinance that this person has a can live in this particular home. So we have sort of two issues. One's a process issue, and I think we can take care of that, and that will have certain benefits. But unless we change the ordinance, the outcome might very well have been the same, even if we had changed the process. So you should know that this isn't taken lightly by the board. It's easy for me to say this because I don't have a person living next door. It's also easy for me to talk about sidewalks because they're not proposing putting one in front of my house. So I understand how you're probably sitting there thinking that, yeah, do any of you favor sidewalks? I didn't get a feedback. You're saying, well, you know, this guy doesn't understand because it's not his neighborhood, and that's a valid point. However, I'm still stuck on some of the research that was quoted by Mr. Newman and that we reviewed years ago that suggests it's just more danger to a community when you don't know. And you are all very upset that you went for 3 weeks not knowing this. Imagine if you went for years not knowing this because the person wasn't registered. And the data just keeps suggesting that these restrictive ordinances don't work in terms of public safety. They just force people to do illegal things. And boy, if I had someone living in my neighborhood who was a sex offender I sure as heck would want to know it. And I would be really upset if I'd lived for years with the person in the neighborhood and I didn't know it. So that's where I'm coming from and where the board was coming from in establishing these ordinances. We were still convinced, but we have a relatively new board, that the data and the research clearly suggest the public safety is increased when you allow people to choose a place to live and then you make sure that you have everyone informed, the neighbors informed, and law enforcement informed and involved. So, right now, as I said in my beginning comments, if I had to vote on it again, I would vote to do the same thing that we have in our current ordinance. I think we did the responsible thing and I think it's working. Again, I know that I'm not in your shoes, so I'm sensitive to that fact. That having been said, we can work on the process issue, and we will do that. I'd ask if we could put that on the next agenda for an update. Officer Lopnow, could you work with the DOC to come up with a process whereby we could be notified when an offender's plan has been approved, and then we could notify residents of that neighborhood that the plan's been improved and this is an impending happening. Again, I don't know if the outcome will be any different, but at least people will know that it's going to happen. And then I'd like to come up on the next board agenda as a discussion item for a review of the existing residency ordinance for sexual offenders. Anything further? Yes.
The notification, even for once, not twice. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And that's where we have to talk to Attorney Duffy, I think, as to what we can share with the community and what we can't. I think most of this you can share beforehand, right? Because it's going to end up, if they register, it's going to be public information anyway. But
will you notify the people in the neighborhood?
That's the idea, is that we would, once a plan has been approved, we would notify the people in the neighborhood of that this plan has been approved by the Department of Corrections to allow the person, they've agreed with the plan and the person would be moving into this particular neighborhood before it happens, not afterwards.
May I say something? Just
oh, yes, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. No, you're doing wonderful.
Well, thanks. Well, then I'll keep speaking.
Hi, Mike. I have a question for all of you, and I am sincere, and I agree with everything that Steve said. Do you all trust each other? Are you all communicating with each other? Are you all friends?
Yes.
Then you're a good, solid neighborhood. That, my friends, is the first thing that you have to have. That is the thing that protects you and where you live and who you are and what you have in the village of Alloway, is that you are unique, that you will cover for each other. I probably can say, because this is true in my neighborhood, if I need something from somebody and you were one of my neighbors, I could go to you and say, gosh, I need help with this, and you would help me. I would hope that would be it. And I think that's why the image and the feeling I get from your group. Rather than a legislative process, look within yourselves and to each other to help each other and to keep each other informed and to cover each other's backs and to be each other's security blanket and to communicate and to stay in touch with each other. Because a big portion of what I'm hearing, and I agree, is fear. And I would be too. I'd be up there waving a flag myself saying I'm scared to death of this. But I also know that if you rely on each other and depend on each other to keep each other safe, you're going to be that much better. That'll be the first line behind your defense, and that is that I've got your back. I'm your neighbor. I'm your friend. I will help you. Now, I know that may sound corny, but I know in my own situation in my own neighborhood that I've had the same thing happen. Okay, fairly close to where we live. And it was a good thing. And all I'm saying is just try to stay. That is your first thing you do. And you've already begun that in some ways tonight. Continue to be in touch with each other. Continue to monitor. Continue to watch. Continue to be in communications. Because communication ultimately is the most valuable thing that you have that you can utilize every day to know what's going on. Now, I'm not saying that you're gonna watch somebody 24/7. But what I'm saying is that the first part of security and community is cooperation with one another and having each other's back. I'm sorry, I've spoken too much.
Anything further? Thank you for visiting. I appreciate it. I'm sure never easy. And thank you, CEO Lotnow. Thank you to all of you, too. On behalf of the board, we take these situations to heart, and we're going to see what we can do to help make you more comfortable in your own neighborhood. Yep.
Can I address what the lady just said back there?
Sure.
I just want to say one thing. I forget your name. I'm sorry, but you said, doesn't anyone else have any comments? Pam. We're going to be talking about this. It's on the discussion on the agenda for next meeting to discuss things. So we'll do our homework. As Pat Collins suggested, we'll come back and we'll discuss it.
Our concerns are we have a lot of little girls, and that's what the offense was against, whether or not it was their family or not.
Yeah.
I still don't mind all the statistics when I've seen so much other things. But as far as what happened.
Okay, we have to make sure that we don't have too much of an interactive conversation.
No, I understand. I'm just concerned.
If you'd like to be acknowledged, you can raise your hand and come to the podium, but we have to make sure to get everything on record. And believe me, if you've ever listened to these things on audio, you have a hard time discerning who is whom, or actually kind of understanding what they're saying, let alone who's saying it. It will come up again at the next meeting as far as the ordinance goes, and DEO Lotnow is going to report on the progress that he's making with changing the process. So, again, a two-pronged approach. We're going to address the process. I think we can make some improvements there. And then we're going to start to discuss the ordinance. Is this still the right ordinance for the village of Alloway?
And when are the meetings normally held?
First and third Tuesdays of the month, starting at 6:30.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Okay, thank you all. Let's move on, please, to item 11. Public hearing to consider adoption of Ordinance 2014-08, approving an amendment to the Plan Development District to change the exterior of the RCAC building at 729 East St. Joseph, formerly 289 East St. Joseph, parcel AL50-91, as requested by Alpha Family Limited Partnership and Harry Mako. Is there anyone who would like to speak with regard to this issue? This is a public hearing.
Yeah.
Dan Doyle's here from Macro Development, so he's going to just give you some information on what they're proposing.
Hi, Dan Doyle from Hillcrest Homes.
Hey, Dan, if this only takes you a minute, you're going to be really mad. You have to wait for it.
Probably only going to take me 30 seconds.
Oh, no.
I already apologize.
Well, hopefully it's worth your wait. But
I apologize for not moving it up, so he's good.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Not a problem. Basically, the RCAC 279 East St. Joseph that we're doing, the only changes that we're looking to do, the original, and I have the plans or whatever you want to see if we need them. The original plan was approved with a stone, the first like 3.5 feet up to the bottom of the windows, and then from there up was going to be a stucco, Perex, which is a stucco above that. We're looking now to do, it's the same stone that was going to originally be, we didn't change roofing or the stone or anything else, it's the same stone, but now we're looking to go, instead of the stucco, we're looking to go right up the whole way with the stone, right up to the soffit. The front will accent the windows. The original plan had an accent around the windows, again with the stucco, just a different color. We're doing that now with a brick, just to accent around the front of it. The front porch will still be the stucco the way the rendering shows. But and again, I have the plans if anybody needs to see them or whatever. But basically,
so it's basically stone instead of stucco, and the brick accent. In my mind, this is kind of a no-brainer. It looks like a real improvement to over the old plan.
I think
is that
a real nice improvement?
Agreed.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who... Are you finished? I'm sorry.
Yes.
You can take as much time as you want. You deserve it.
You guys will be here late enough, so...
is there anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to this issue? This is a public hearing portion. Hearing none, thank you. We will move on to item 12, action regarding the adoption of ordinance 2014-08. Is there a motion with regard to this item? I will make a motion to approve resolution 2014-08, seconded by Trustee Dart. Discussion?
It was all approved by the Plan Commission?
Yeah.
Can't wait to see it.
Looks nice.
If it passes, I can't promise anything, right? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now I can't wait to see it. Thanks, Dan. Sorry about making you wait.
Learned a lot.
Yes. More than I wanted.
Action regarding the request from Titletown Tobacco for an alcoholic beverage retail license. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Dart?
I would move to postpone this item to the next agenda. I heard some questions that are able to be answered at this time.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Gingrich? Discussion? Trustee Dart?
Maybe Debbie can fill us in a little bit, but there's some questions about the legality of...
Can we let Becky speak? She's the one that brought it.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know about Titletown Tobacco, it went in, 3 years ago? Right around when the smoking ban was going to take effect, but they're allowed to smoke there because it's an establishment made for that specific purpose. They sell cigars there, and you're allowed to smoke cigars there. You buy a membership, and you can basically get access to Titletown Tobacco whenever you want and go there and smoke your cigar. And they do have refrigerators and things in there. I think that are they allowed to bring alcoholic beverages into the site right now? And the proposal or the request is for them to actually retail.
They want to serve and sell. Yes.
To sell, right, at Titletown Tobacco. So unless there are objections, we'll open it up to... who did you defer to, Becky?
Becky.
Yeah. I was just wondering if it's going to be then, if they're selling alcohol, if that's going to then be a tavern, and if they would then have a change in circumstances, that would, you know, they would have to follow the state law and it wouldn't be smoke-free then. That's the... Because if I was a tavern owner of another tavern in Alloway, I would be quite upset if one could skirt the state law. The whole idea is to be a level playing field and have alcohol in the same. So I'm just, we're questioning whether that, because it, you know, it's a change in circumstance and it becomes a tavern, then they can, you know, so
that's a great,
is that being considered in the ordinance? I just wonder if that's is considered a part of licensing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I don't know what the rule was for when they received permission to smoke there, because it was for that. I don't know if there's if the majority of the business has to be for smoking, or
I printed out some of the stuff that I found, and it has to be that at least 75% of what they sell has to be cigars and tobacco products, more than 75%. And so if they start selling alcohol and that becomes a bigger percentage of their sales, then they lose that exemption. So those questions.
And I don't know that it's going to be a tavern. I mean, I'm assuming, I thought he would have been here tonight, but I'm assuming it's still going to be just for the private.
Instead of having people bring it in, then they would just
they could
be
buy
able to
it there
sell it
if
there.
They wanted to.
And so I don't know what the license, I wanted to make sure those issues were looked at.
Right, and on the sheet that you brought, it has tobacco bars, which generate 15% or more of the revenue from sale of cigars. So there is such a thing. I just need a little more clarification. So,
Trustee Dennis?
But is this established as a club as opposed to something else, or as a private membership? Does it have to pay as a membership to be a part of it to be able to buy the product? Is it then under different rules, requirements, laws, restrictions, as opposed to just the ability to be able to sell alcohol? In other words, if you walked in there, you would have to have a membership before you could even buy anything, whether it's cigar or
I don't think that's the case right now. I think you can walk in there and buy a cigar.
I don't know.
I did, so.
Yes, but in order to, but you can't stay there, can you? And
no.
Have a cigar.
No.
Right. You can just go on.
I tried as hard as I could.
Okay.
No, you have to have a membership
that
to stay there.
That part's private.
They sort of have a retail, what I perceive as a retail area in the front where you can go in and go in the humidor, pick out a cigar, pay for it, and leave.
Right.
And then they have this back area that's glorious. It's the best man cave I've ever seen. And the reason before it opened, they invited me, and I got to go back there. And they'll let you sort of try out a one-day membership, or thing, I think, if you're interested. It's wonderful, but my wife would kill me.
It's not open to the public.
But it's not open to the public, right. And so, yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to be selling the beer kind of in the back.
It would be the same place
as the cigars. So
not the right in the front counter.
Okay, so it'd be back
in
the man cave.
That's why I wish
there are. There do seem to be some unanswered specifics about this. So.
Do we need legal
questions
on that, I think?
Probably conferring with Dennis would be a really good idea.
I'll call the league first. And
okay, that's a good idea.
The alcohol people.
Can we find out from the petitioner here what it is he really wants to do? It's not real clear on here.
Right. I emailed him, and he had told me that he just wanted to sell and serve, but then I had more questions, and he hadn't gotten back to me. And I had sent him the agenda thinking he would be here, and unfortunately, if he was here, he left.
It says that he also wants to sell it in the parking lot.
For events.
For events. And he has done special events.
We've done that, too.
But that's on a case-by-case basis. We wouldn't grant that up front in the permit. It would be, if they had one to have a special event, they would apply.
Yeah.
Okay, the motion on the floor is to postpone, and it sounds like we have multiple avenues for getting the information that we need. Is that correct?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Item 14, action regarding the restructuring of the Public Works Committee. Is there a motion with regard to this item? I will make a motion to restructure the Public Works Committee as outlined in the recommendation. Is there a second? Trustee Dart?
A second.
Discussion? This kind of looks like, I know that other communities do it differently, but given what I know about public safety and the frequency with which they meet and the issues that they have, I just don't think it's worth, especially because we have a hard time filling committee vacancies. We had two resignations last night from the Historic Preservation, right?
Yes.
And we've talked about this before. We even have a couple of events planned to invite the committee volunteers in and try to appreciate them because they put in a lot of work and there's very little recognition. Sometimes there's disdain if they pass something that the public doesn't like, and there's no financial incentive. So understandably, people have busy lives. We have a hard time attracting people to these positions. I think it would make some sense to consolidate two into one. Although the Public Works Committee does have very full agendas, usually I don't think it's going to be much more of a burden to add this on. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Question. I would agree that combining them makes sense, and I don't know that it makes sense to have a committee, an employee committee. So it says, let's see.
The staff review committee?
I don't, do we need to create another committee for that, or can, from the Public Works Committee, can it just go to the director for guidance on any other issues?
My motion is to combine two official committees of the village, sort of how the process of how we get business to the newly formed Public Works Committee. I think I would leave up to the administrator. But if you'd like an explanation as to why she's proposing this staff review committee, we can do that. But I think what you're proposing is more of a staff, not a formal.
Just an informal. It's probably what's happening right now that, you know, when they get a request for staff sign, the DPW, maybe Rick looks at it, and maybe the engineer tech look at it, and they make some decision to make a recommendation to the traffic and safety at this time. So it's more of an internal review, I guess, and that would happen regardless when someone comes in.
Right. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 15, action regarding the Arbor Day tree proclamation. Brad's been waiting for this one. Bated breath, right? Bated breath. Is there a motion with regard to this item?
So moved.
Trustee Gendron moves. Is there a second?
Second.
Matthew. Seconds. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 16, action regarding the amending the code 3.20, the snow on streets. Is there a motion with regard to this item?
I had a question prior to.
Is there a motion first? Does anyone have a... I have an opinion on this. I'll make a motion to approve the amendments to 3.2 with regard to snow on the streets. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Raptor seconds. Okay. Yeah. Yes, question. Trustee Gingrich.
On some of the cul-de-sacs, I'm very familiar with Chardonnay, for example. They do plow snow into the middle, but I'm not sure who does that. Is that the village? I don't think it's the neighbors.
Jim, the street foreman, he said no. That's why he asked me to look at this. He said that he's having problems because he's actually called private residents hiring somebody to do it. Everyone's shoving it in the middle of the street. That's why he asked me to look at this.
Oh, it's usually services? It's not...
It's not us. It's
no, I mean, it's not the actual resident. Is it usually a service, someone that comes in with a... I can see if he had a pickup truck and a plow on it, it would be easier just to push it all out.
That's
across.
That's what he called. He said that was somebody that was hired. In fact, I think what he owns. It's another local person that the residents had hired, and he shoved it right in the middle. It was over on the street by the Langdon School. That cul-de-sac, he went down there and he saw the guy pulling out the center of it.
Okay. That makes sense to me. I couldn't figure out why a resident would even blow, let alone shovel, all the way across the street into the middle of the cul-de-sac. That's a lot of work because you don't want more snow on your yard or something. Okay. Someone had a question about penalties. Was it
Yes, I did.
What,
where in the ordinance is there a penalty listed out for violating the rule?
Chapter 6.
I'm Debbie.
So there's a whole table of penalties all in one spot, and then it just refers to that one table, so that's not embedded in each ordinance.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you know off the top of your...
Is it under fees?
Is it
six?
Under, yeah.
I mean, eight is fees.
Eight is fees, yes, mm-hmm. Not six. Eight.
Yeah.
Is fees.
Okay.
And it'll say something within the ordinance. This may not be the whole ordinance. Mm-hmm. Towards the bottom of it, usually it'll say that any penalties or fines are listed in Chapter 8 to the bottom. It directs you to that chapter.
Similar to the $50 for the animal
yes.
control.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And we have the bond sheet that also broke it down. There's so many that we have to go back and look, see what
we can charge. Yeah, it's
about top of our heads.
I did have one minor adjustment that I don't think warrants an amendment, but it strikes me that that C is a subset of B. B talks about you can't push your snow across the road to the other side of the road, and C says you can't push your snow to the other side of the road in a cul-de-sac. And in both cases, you're just pushing it across the road. So I would propose combining and not having C be separate from B. And maybe if Mark and Tracy could play with the language of this, basically that last sentence says, the previous applies to cul-de-sacs, and no person shall throw a divert, so that the reader knows that you're just sort of reiterating the policy in B and letting them know that it applies to cul-de-sacs as well.
So combine B and C?
Combine B and C, yes.
It'll come back next meeting in ordinance form.
In ordinance form, okay. That'll be good. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 17, action regarding amending code 6.06, dogs and cats in parks or on premises other than that of the owner. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Dart?
I'll move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Harris, second?
Yes.
Discussion? A brief discussion with Mark about this. It's pretty self-explanatory. Are there any questions off?
Yes. I've got a question.
Radford. Trustee Harris or Dart, do you have you have the floor if you want it. Trustee Radford.
I was just wondering, it says you have to prevent an animal from a walkway, from attacking people in a walkway. And it says private or public. So if I own a home and there's a public walkway and a walkway up to my yard, I have to prevent that from happening? Does that make sense? Sidewalk.
I'm not sure if that was the intention. I think the intention was if there's a walkway on an adjacent property, whether that's private or a public walkway, and on your property you have to fence or protect that walkway. So it's not going from, it's not inside your property going up to your house.
Okay.
It would be your neighbor's private sidewalk, where normally you would have a fence. A lot of people put the invisible fences up. So if you're trying to walk up to your house and your neighbor's dog runs toward you, but you're going up your sidewalk to your house.
Okay.
So I guess an example that I can think of is some properties have the driveways that are almost connected. Right?
Yep.
There might be, and if I'm walking up my driveway, your dog can't start running out at me as if it's going to attack me. Because I have a right to walk up my driveway without being threatened by an animal, is what this is saying. It's not for your own pathway that might come from the street, your own sidewalk that comes up to your house, and a salesman walks up and your dog, you know, runs after the salesman. I mean, that's not what the ordinance means. It's not on your own private property.
Yeah, my concern with this is the enforcement of it. I agree we should protect people, but if you have a normally very docile dog and all of a sudden this dog has an invisible fence and one day decides to go goofy because maybe it was prompted, you know. How we have to protect the property owners or the pet owners as well from neighbors saying he's causing troubles. So,
yeah, I mean, I would imagine enforcement would be like a lot of the ordinances we have, that if it becomes habitual and every time that you walk your kids on the street past this house, this Doberman Pinscher comes by and looks like he's going to maul both of you, that to me is a threat, and it's not healthy, and I should have the right to walk on a public road without feeling like I might be attacked. And I think the example I gave to Mark is I can't run out of my house with a baseball bat towards the street when someone's walking by and stop on the edge and say, no, I'm just kidding. You know, it's a threat. I shouldn't.
Do it all the time.
This would also cover chains. We don't have
I asked Mark about chains.
You can chain a dog to a tree. Most people don't. There's nothing in the ordinance.
You can't?
You can. There's nothing that says you can't. Most people don't because it looks cruel.
I asked Mark to check that out. I mean, does this apply to chains? So if I see that a dog's chained and it's running after me,
this would apply for that though.
That would apply to that.
Same effect. It's coming at you. You're like, you know, we're trying to keep people from getting scared when we're walking by. Even when the first complaint I got, I walked up to the house. That dog came right through that visible fence right at me. I mean, it startled me because you're like, is he going to stop?
So it came through the fence?
He didn't.
Oh,
but the animal control person told me there's many cases she has where they had ran through that fence. My neighbor's dog's done. It's just a little yipper. Yeah. He got shocked and went through it. He didn't care.
I'm not sure about the chain thing. I mean, I don't know what to think of that. If someone has a chain link fence and a Doberman comes running at me, I'm probably going to, my heart rate's going to go up. And I kind of know there's a fence there, but part of me thinks the thing could, I don't know, crash through it. It's just sort of, right?
Well, you don't see a fence. That's
right, but so I guess I'm just struggling. Where's the line? If I see this big chain around the dog and it's tied around a tree, and I should have some level of security that it's probably not going to attack me, but again, I don't. So, you know, where's the line at which you're being provided enough of a visual that you're protected? Does it have to be a fence? Does it have to be a solid fence? Does it have to be... Can it be a chain? Can it be a rope? Can it be a... And what you're saying is, in this ordinance, the way that it's intended is that if you have a dog chained, although most people don't, but I've seen some people with the stakes in the ground and the dog's tethered to the stake, that would be not allowed under this ordinance if the dog runs after someone and poses a threat, acts in a threatening manner.
To me, when I looked at it again, it could be that way. I've never had a complaint about that. No one's ever said anything. I've never seen. Like I told Monica, I have yet to see anybody chain a dog. I don't know if Rick has, but I've never seen a dog chained anywhere in this village in 3 years.
Oh, really? There was one right on the roundabout on Alloway Avenue in Libel who was sat on the porch almost all the time. You live over there, right?
Mm-hmm. Penny, you live close to there.
I didn't see any dogs.
I'm assuming he was. I thought he was fake for a while because he sits really still, but he's not fake.
He's a good dog then.
And he
starts at this car.
So anyway, but I think I'm fine with that. Even if someone has a dog chained and it runs after someone who's just walking down the street, and even though it's chained, is acting in an aggressive manner, I think that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get someone to address to talk to the person about that. You know, an individual. You know, try not to.
Right, and that's how we usually do it. We want compliance, and we want people to feel safe, and so it's not like we're going to be levying fines the first time that it happens. But if it's habitual and it happens every time, I mean, that's, we have a public health problem. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 18, action regarding amending code 340 to 348, no parking zones. Is there a motion with regard to this item? I will make a motion to amend code 340 to 348 as outlined in the recommendation. Is there a second? Trustee Gingrich, second. Discussion? This mainly involves people parking in roundabouts, which I never in a million years would have dreamed that people would do, but apparently they do. Is there anything more to this?
Like I said, I've written some tickets for it, not here, in Ledgeview.
I'm assuming it's on the outer edges, or am I wrong? They ran the middle.
It's a one lane roundabout.
So would we allow one of the allowed vehicles to park and block a one way roundabout or one lane roundabout?
They can't block the street, but this is we're talking about parking on top of the center aisle.
It says in it, This said in or in the middle.
Well, we changed that to also add somebody can't just stop in the middle of the roundabout and block traffic. We had it on, but we decided to have it on or in.
In or on.
Stopping in the roundabout or right. On the roundabout.
Right.
But if this would come back in ordinance?
If they stop in and they block traffic, it's not against those.
In or on.
But not for village trucks, the ones that speed down the street, the other gentleman talked about?
Stop sign.
Or below stop sign?
If they're doing work,
they can block.
Well, if they're doing work in the roundabout, they're not going to be blocking the lane. They may pull a vehicle, and our roundabout is so small that they probably don't do it in that particular roundabout, but it would allow someone doing maintenance to pull potentially into the roundabout, like in the middle, but it certainly would not, none of the crew would ever park their vehicle in the roundabout to block traffic because you can't get out of the way there. So
Would you park in the roundabout?
He would.
Yeah.
If we had a water glass, I would.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 19, action regarding appointments to village committees. I'd like to make a motion to approve the slate as listed in your packet. Is there a second? Trustee Dart, discussion. There again are two vacancies on the Historic Preservation Committee as of last night, but neither of them are people who were on the list to be reassigned. We have a request to open it up. Unless there are objections, we'll open it up for just a moment. Yes, sir.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I attended the meeting last night. One of the resignations was an objection to they didn't want to follow the open meetings rule, so they decided to leave. That was kind of strange. But the Historic Preservation Committee has a lot of power and authority to find people and to regulate them in their homes, and I think that it's important that an elected member from the village be on that committee, or that the committee has some sort of responsibility to an elected official. And then also, by having somebody from the board there, they do have authority to stand up to people from the state when the state comes down and wants them to do things that the committee didn't want to do. And specifically, our chairman didn't want to have our board be mandatory. They wanted her advice to be advisory, and the state said no. And she told me that she was going to resign, and she has resigned. Right? Barb? Well, she's not going to continue with the committee because she felt that having the state come in and make the historic preservation mandatory instead of advisory was a taking.
She's still on the committee.
She's told me that she's not going to stay.
She's still on the committee.
She's still on the committee.
But she's not going to be the chairman anymore. She's giving up her chairmanship. So that was, it's very important that somebody from the board has some oversight there and has some authority because that board has, that committee has a lot of authority. And I just wanted to say that's a very important. And they do have the, a lot of people don't know it, but that committee has the ability to fine people $10,000 a day for violations. And it's in the ordinance, and nobody believes me, but you gave them that kind of authority, and somebody from the board needs to be on that committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to this issue?
Maybe for the new members, just so they know, these are the people that are up for, their terms are expiring, and the ones that were he's reappointing are the ones listed in the second column.
We confirmed that I cannot be on the Board of Appeals anymore, correct?
Correct.
Does everyone understand the motion? The slate that we're approving is the slate in the middle column there, with the lines?
Except for Ted, didn't Ted resign from Economic Development?
He told me he would until we could find someone else.
Yeah. Okay.
So I put his name on there.
There are other members on that, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, but their terms aren't up this year.
Okay.
Does this also need to do the board appointments down here? Because these are all...
We're going to skip the board appointments. Thank you. I was going to announce that at the very beginning. We have a tradition at the village of not assigning new trustees to a committee for the first year of their involvement. And since we have three brand new trustees and we'll have a new administrator, I just don't think that's possible anymore. So I'm going to be reviewing between now and the next meeting all the committee assignments. What I'd like the new members to do is to email me with your preference for any of these committees. I will be hesitant to take someone off, another board member off a committee who's currently on one in order to substitute you in, unless that person is willing or maybe has a preference for doing that. But what I want from you is just look at all the committees and rank your preference for sitting in on each of these committees. If you have questions about what happens in the committee or how frequently they meet, you can ask me, or I think it would be even a better idea to ask the village administrator. Public Works is probably the largest and most active committee with the most varying issues and with the most budgeting implications of any of the committees. But as Mr. O'Rourke said, we have other committees who have very, very important work. Historic Preservation is one of them. The Board of Appeals is another as well. Okay, so if you could do that before... even by this time next week, that would be great, so that I could get your preferences and have a game plan for moving forward. Trustee Bradford.
But these are the only committees that board members are appointed to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have a board member who was sitting on some other committees and boards in the community, but I think that was as a resident. I think Trustee Kopisch sat on the prison board and on... And on solid waste, yeah. And Troy Strickenbach has called and asked me to sit on solid waste, and I'm not sure that I want to do that. I want to figure out kind of how we're configured here first before I give an answer. But I think when he asked me, I think he said as a resident. It's not as a trustee. So, yes, what you see is are the only official committees that you'd be assigned to. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Reports and discussion. We already had 21. Trustee Rafter, an idea for a village newsletter.
I will make this very brief.
Why?
Okay. It's called a filibuster. While I've been walking the streets the last several months, it's become clear that village residents want to have a closer bond with the village and better communication. And over the meetings over the last year, we hear a lot about we want to be able to improve. And this whole topic is just to be brought up that we should start the process. And there are two opportunities that I see. I was originally calling it the village newsletter, But we really have a short-term and a long-term opportunity, I think. Short-term, Debbie currently has an email list that is sent out to residents. She does a great job of keeping people on that list informed of what's going on. The challenge is you have about 70 people out of 13,000 residents. So what I'd like to see us do, or what I'd like us to discuss, is first of all, trying to, with every connection that we have with our residents, whether it's when they come in the door to do, conduct business at the village, or on our water bills, or in some way, shape, or form, to give them the opportunity to give us their email, their communication preference, and to start creating, building a larger list. That's a short-term opportunity, because we already have something in place to start communicating with them. On a long-term opportunity, instead of recommending a solution prior to actually identifying the problem, I thought it might make sense to convene some kind of a committee, temporary, permanent, I don't know, called the Communications Committee. I know in this village we have a lot of residents who are professionals in the world of communication and would probably love to help the village identify opportunities and ways to better communicate with our residents. I think tonight was a perfect opportunity, a perfect example of what can happen when people hear about what's going on in the village. For me, this was a very exciting meeting, because people who care about the village that they live in showed up, voiced their opinion. They were very professional. And I'd love to see more and more of that. So that's what I brought for discussion. Simply a short-term and a long-term. Long-term is probably more strategic, but I don't know how we go about doing these things in an official way. But I just think we should kick off that process now.
Trustee Rocker and I had a discussion about this at lunch the other day, and I told him that every organization that I've ever belonged to, including Alloy, communication is always listed as a problem. And I know when our first roundabout went in on Libel and Alloy Avenue, there was lots of communication, and still there were people who were angry because they weren't communicated with. So we're never going to solve the issue. That doesn't mean we shouldn't keep trying. And I agree completely with Trustee Rafter that this came up with the sidewalk issue, it came up with the sexual offender issue, and we need to do a better job, and we need to increase efforts to improve communication. That having been said, there's something that one of the residents said at our first meeting about the sidewalk issue a couple of weeks ago. He said, we have to do a better job in our neighborhoods, that if one of us hears something, we have to help communicate and not get offended that not every person in that neighborhood wasn't individually notified. And so I agree with that, too. So I like your idea of trying to commission some people who have some expertise and think about ways to develop communication systems that just work better for everyone, knowing that we're not completely going to solve the problem. There will always be people who feel like you haven't communicated well enough to them.
We have different demographics.
Right.
We can start reaching out to the younger adults through Facebook. There's lots of different technologies that different age brackets use, and I think we could come to a plan. And once at least we offer that to the residents, if they choose to participate, that's great. We want them to.
Right.
If not, we've done our part and given them the opportunity.
So how would you like to see this move forward, Trustee Rafter?
For the short-term initiative, I would like to implement something where every time a village staff or a village trustee or a representative of the village interacts with a resident, let them know that they can simply go to the website, and I guess did you put that up on the website, Debbie, the opportunity to register?
They just added that on this new website. We had it on our old one, but it just didn't.
So to point them to the website, encourage them to register. I haven't looked at the registration form. And then
there is an RSS feed. that people can go on, and so I wouldn't necessarily know if they're getting mm-hmm. all the updates.
Okay.
So I guess
do we have just one RSS feed, or do we have multiple?
Just one.
Because what would be nice, and Jim and I talked about this the other day too, is if someone could go and there'd be some sort of drop-down menu if they had particular issues. You want, if there's an update with regard to taxes or with regard to public works projects, that they could get only individual RSS feeds or individual emails rather than... Because the last thing you want to do, and you know this in any communication system, is saturate the receiver with right. too much information, because then and they're encouraged not to listen to anything, right?
We yeah. do get people that want to be taken off the list because we don't have a separate one right now. We just right. have one. And so they do get bombarded sometimes.
But yeah. that will have to be user directed, because yep. we're not going to ask Debbie to sort of have separate lists for separate yeah. people, and that would just be a logistical nightmare. But
no,
I
the long
there are opportunities for having the user define, you know, what they want to hear about.
I agree. So I don't know, how do we do that in the village if to help boost the people registering from a short-term perspective? Can we implement that? Or does that make sense to implement?
What about if we have, Tracy, do you want to have the discussion with the staff and Debbie just to see if there are other ways that we can encourage people to sign up for the existing list that we have? That's your short-term goal, right, Trustee Rafter?
Yep.
And, you know, maybe come back to the next meeting with some recommendations of things that you think might work. And then what I'd like to do is sort of implement them and keep tabs on, have a report from Debbie on, do we seem to be getting more people signing yep. up for this?
You can also continue to use agendas, meeting agendas that bring a lot of people into the room, and we can ask them to yeah. sign up while they're here.
Have a sign up sheet.
Roll them out on that idea.
Long term, does the board think it makes sense to convene a committee to discuss communication needs in the village?
My personal opinion is right now, probably not. In a month, maybe. I mean, we have some committee assignments for all of you
okay.
to begin with, and so many things are changing right now. I would hate to add another committee or even a task force at this point before we've kind of settled in. So that's just my personal opinion. Do others have a
different opinion on that? But I do remember that we did have a communications committee a few years ago.
We did. And we even had a newspaper when Mike Obinger, before he became the village president.
That was really short term.
Yeah, it wasn't long, but that was part of it. And I know this is also related to something that Mr. Collins talked about, in that we decided about a year ago to try to develop better communication and relationship between the staff and the board. And one of the ways that we thought we'd do that and to improve how informed the board is. One way that we thought to do it was to add in this board staff meeting that Mr. Collins alluded to. My understanding is that board staff meeting, there used to be one village board meeting, and then they had the board staff meeting, and then they started voting at the board staff meeting, and they thought, well, we just need to have two full-fledged board meetings, and that's how it became what it is. So, but we need both board meetings. We need two a month. We really do. But I think Tracy and I have been talking about some way to have board staff meetings that maybe during the every other staff meeting that the administrator has with the department heads, is it every other week? Mm-hmm. So every other one of those, once a month, the first half hour would be devoted to a board staff meeting where the board would be invited, maybe not required to come, but invited to come just to make sure that we're in touch with what's going on in the village. So we're kind of working on that. We may or may not have a recommendation by the time Tracy leaves. That's coming up really quickly, but that's sort of what we've been thinking.
And you might want to wait until your new administrator gets on.
Yeah.
You may have mm-hmm. some different ideas or a different way to look at that or whatever to get some new views on that, so that might be something to
yeah. So I'm leery about doing it now because of all the changes, including the new administrator, but you know, I think we should continue discussions, and when we get a new person in, you know, maybe that's the right time to go full force with a more of a long-term strategy.
In some communities, they have a committee of the whole meeting where what they do, it's not a formal village board meeting or a formal council meeting or anything, but it's an informal session, not held in the chamber, where basically just sit and talk.
Yeah, that's what the board staff originally started out being,
and
it was held back there.
Yeah, but as instituted in the bigger communities on a weekly basis, you can Mondays, but then sit down and go through it. And just formalize it and say, we're going to do that, and, you know, there was no action taken.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was just to be able to get everything going in the right direction. The other thing is in regards to the communications, for people that come into the meetings, there are quite a few people. If we had, you know, specifically for the website, where people come in and they're passionate about something, you just say, okay, what's your passion? All right, sign up on the website and tell us what your passion is by signing up for, I want to know about water and sewer, I want to know about zoning or whatever. And just let them sign up specifically for that to get information like a RSS feed.
I would want that to be automatic, though. I wouldn't want Debbie to have to keep track of it.
No, she wouldn't.
Right.
They would sign up.
On the website, they would sign up on the web. Yeah, that's what we were proposing.
Yeah. Specific by issue, though.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Okay.
By issue.
Yeah.
We even have a.
That was my dumb question tonight.
Okay. All right, good enough.
That's if our website designer can.
Yeah, they can
change
that.
That.
Yeah, right.
What do you like with all the newbies?
All right. Anything else, Trustee Rafter?
No, sir. Thank you very much.
Is there a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851C to consider employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the Village Board has jurisdiction and exercises responsibility? Trustee Genridge, second by Trustee Rafter. Roll call. Trustee Harris?
Yes.
Trustee Genridge?
Yes.
Trustee Rafter?
Yes.
Trustee Van Noven is a yes. Trustee Dart?
Aye.
Trustee Dennis? We're in closed session. We will go.